Your word is a light to our paths and a lamp to our feet. Father, we're walking through difficult times, globally, nationally, and in our own lives in all sorts of different ways. As we walk through this life with our Lord Jesus, we pray that you would light up the path for us through your word this morning, so that we can walk that path more steadily and firmly following in Jesus' footsteps. We pray it in his name. Amen. So, verse 28 then. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town. Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town. What's been going on here? What has happened? Why has she left her water jar? It's a vital possession. She needs that. She's just deserted and abandoned it. Why? It's midday. It's hot. She's alone apart from Jesus. She'd gone out to the well alone, thinking that she'd be on her own. It's a 10-minute walk from her town to the well, and she wanted to get water because she was thirsty. And now she's forgotten that she's thirsty completely, and she rushes to tell everybody. Verse 29, come, see a man who told me everything I've done. Could this be the Messiah? Well, she'd forgotten that she was thirsty. I have forgotten that I'm thirsty, so bear with me just a moment. Aren't we all thirsty? I'm particularly thirsty. I'm on a kidney drug that makes me drink litres of water every day, so I'm always thirsty. But aren't we thirsty? Haven't we all got a jar that we're trying to get filled up and that we take to places, as it were, metaphorically, to get filled up? I wonder what your jar is, what you're seeking to fill it with. Sometimes we go to Google for answers, don't we, to fill up our jar. Why am I so lost, empty, thirsty, ashamed, whatever, we ask Google. And Google says to us, well, you need to become a vegan, or have a gluten-free diet, stop drinking milk, do mindfulness, drink 124 pints of beer, go to Portugal, do your bucket list, get a TikTok account, be famous, and all sorts of other things, waiting to fill up your jar, or promising to fill up your empty jar. Or maybe our jar filling is a little bit more traditional. Do your job well. Make sure your family are okay. Get your house all sorted out. Have a sensible plan for your retirement. These things will fill our jar, so we're taking it. And we go with our jar hoping it'll get filled up, and sometimes stuff goes in it. It seems to sort of leak away. It seems to be empty when we take a look. We want not to be thirsty. What if it was possible that there's something about the Lord Jesus so exciting that we could forget about our jar forever and just leave it like the woman does? Leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town. What if there was something about Jesus so exciting that we could forget the jar completely because we're never thirsty, we're always full? Perhaps you're investigating Christianity here in the building with us today, or maybe watching online now or later. We're not leaping to judge the jar that you're carrying or the places you're going with that jar to try and get it filled up. No. But like the woman with Jesus, maybe you can discover that you can actually leave that jar to one side now. Maybe we do trust in Jesus. And we look at ourselves and, oh my goodness, we're clutching a jar and we're taking it to all these places to try and get it filled up. What are we doing? Have we forgotten what our Lord Jesus offers? We're continuing our series in our sermons, our Sundays, from Gospel-Shaped Living, and we're looking today at a truthful church in a confused world. And because of God's grace, we have the truth about reality and about existence in the Lord Jesus. People around us in the world are confused. Perhaps you're confused. They're looking all over the place to get their thirst quenched. They're wondering why, sometimes it seems to work a bit, but it's gone again. Why are the results so fleeting? Well, this woman at the well in Samaria finds the truth, the one answer that works, Jesus. And the passage is all about two things. Who is Jesus and what is the gift that he brings? Who is Jesus? What is the gift that he brings? Who is he? He's Jesus the Messiah, God's Saviour King, the divine Saviour King, Saviour King. That's who this man is. And what is the gift that he brings? It's new life. It's spiritual new life. A new birth with the Holy Spirit in our lives. A new relationship with God. These are the two things the passage is all about. Who is Jesus? What is the gift? And what I'm going to do is go, first of all, run through it so we know what's in the story, the passage, the events. Maybe you're familiar with it. Maybe it's new to you. And then pick out three things for us to follow up on from that. So let's take a look at the scenes of the story then. Now, first of all, we've got thirsty Jesus, the first few verses, verses 1 to 8. Jesus and his disciples taking a journey on this map. They're going from the bit down the bottom there, the orange bit, up to the green bit or blue bit. So that's Judea, up to Galilee. And they've got to go through the bit in the middle, and there's a red blob there. I've put that over Sychar, this village where they're on the way. Now, this land they're going through is Samaritan land, and there's hostility between the Jews and the Samaritans. It's not on the level of hostility we're seeing today between Palestinians and Jews, but there's hostility still. It's not conflict, it's just they're not friendly. And he stops at the well, and his disciples go off to get food. It's noon, it's hot, and this woman arrives wanting to get water. And Jesus here breaks a bunch of social taboos. I could spend hours telling you about them, but let's just say that. Lots of taboos broken. Verse 7. When a Samaritan woman came to draw water, Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" He shouldn't be doing that, but he does. "Will you give me a drink?" he says. And then we discover about the man and the gift, verses 9 and 10. The man and the gift. So she's asked the woman a reasonable question, the woman. In fact, each of these little sections starts with her saying something. Almost every one of them. Beginning and end slightly different, but in the middle of this section, she asks something or says something and Jesus responds. So verse 9, the Samaritan woman said to him, "You're a Jew and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" Perfectly reasonable. It's a bit like Piers Morgan asking Meghan Markle for a cup of tea. Not going to happen. What are you doing? Jesus says, forget that. Here's something bigger. And he introduces the two big things that we're thinking about, the man and the gift. Who is the man? What is the gift? Verse 10. Jesus answered, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asked you for drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water." Mysterious. Yeah? Mysterious. What's that about? And that's his intention, the way he puts it. He's speaking, verses 11 to 14, about the gift, eternal life. See, she just doesn't get it, verse 11. "Sir, you have nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Where can you get this living water?" She thinks he means Evian as opposed to something else. So, there she is at this well, and she looks at it and thinks, how's he going to do it? Jacob's well was very deep, apparently, over 100 feet deep. So you needed something to get the water out. Apparently, it was a spring at the bottom of the big deep hole, a fast-flowing spring, and they dug down to get there. But if you were going to have water that's better than that, you'd have to be better than Jacob, who dug the well, wouldn't you, all those hundreds of years before. Jesus says, no, I'm talking about a gift. Verse 13, "Everyone who drinks this water in the well will be thirsty again. But, gift, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, this water I give them will become in them a spring of water welling up to eternal life." It's mysterious again, isn't it? It's wonderful and satisfying. If you take your jar to this spring with Jesus, you can forget it. It's going to be full forever and ever. What does he mean? Come back to this in a minute. A gift, eternal life. The truth then about the woman, the next bit, she responds, verse 15. She wants the water, obviously. But Jesus changes tack. And he wants to show her need for the water. So, verse 16. Go call your husband and come back. He says, I have no husband, she replied. You're right, says Jesus, when you say you have no husband. The fact is you've had five husbands, and the man you now have is not your husband. She has been trying to fill her jar, not the actual clay one with water, but her spiritual, metaphorical life jar, with relationships. She thinks that's what's going to be satisfying. And they come and they go. And they come and they go. And it's not working. And Jesus knows it. And he pointed out to her the truth about the woman. Well, she changes tack for him again. And we discover the truth about worship in verses 19 to 24. She realizes Jesus is special, says he's a prophet, and turns to this religious matter that divides them, the Samaritans and Jews, the location of worship, the mountain they're on, or the place of Jerusalem. Jesus is going to change all that, he says. The time is coming, verse 23, and now has come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in the truth. So, this is the truth about worship. The man and the gift change the worship completely. The truth about worship. And then the passage ends with the truth about the man. We thought about the gift and the man. It's the truth about the man. She starts to get an idea of who he is. I know that Messiah, called Christ, is coming, she says, verse 25. When he comes, he'll explain everything to us. Jesus declared, I, the one speaking to you, I am he. And she goes off to tell the whole town about him, leaving her water jar. So, what's it all about? Well, it's about this confusion, isn't it, in life. She's been looking, and people are looking, we're looking all over the place to get our thirst quenched, not with water, but the life thirst. And now she discovers that Jesus is the one who can do it. And Jesus alone, the man with the gift that he offers. Who is he? What is the gift? Well, first of all, will we receive Jesus, the Messiah? Will we receive Jesus, the Messiah? Or will we rest assured with, if we've already received him, rest assured with Jesus, the Messiah? Jesus says to the woman, if you realize the truth about me, it'll change everything. If you realize the truth about the man standing with here, it would change everything. And the question for us is, have we realized the truth about that man standing there, the man who's been presented to us? Jesus is levels higher, many, many levels higher than anyone we have put our trust in, or we follow or admire. There are all sorts of people we follow or admire, people we stroll up to with our empty jar saying, fill this for me. And they're all over the place, aren't they? So there's a kind of Napoleon figure, someone in history we think is really great, maybe not Napoleon, maybe someone else. They're all dead, and what they've done may make a little bit of difference. Maybe it was the abolition of slavery you think this person's great for, it's made some difference. Maybe it was something else, maybe it's discovery of electricity you think this person is great for, but it's made some difference, but still leaves us with a jar that's needy. So maybe it's a Napoleon figure that you go to with your jar, maybe it's some great speaker. You like TED Talks on YouTube. You go along and think, I'm going to find out about someone who doesn't have to look at their notes all the time. And they wander around waving their arms. It's going to be great. And 15 minutes later, it's all over and you've thought about some of their great ideas and you forget most of them, and they don't actually change your life that much after all. And anyway, when we turn to Jesus, we discover he's bringing great ideas, not just from the top of his head or for some books he's read, but from the Creator himself. Perhaps it's an influencer that you go to. Some of you are thinking, what's an influencer? Just listen for a moment. It's somebody who's really popular on some kind of video format on people's phones, okay? And they can say stuff, wear stuff, inject things into their face, and everyone goes, wow, wow. Maybe it's that kind of person that you want to fill your life, and you want to be like them, maybe, and have millions of TikTok followers or something. Well, followers, you want lots of followers. Jesus is the one to look at. Or maybe it's not a Napoleon, a TED Talk, an influence. Maybe it's a guru or a prophet who you go to for your jar to be filled. And they bring some sort of spiritual message. Jesus says, I don't bring a spiritual message, I bring myself. Jesus. Have we realised that this Jesus is so much better? He's levels higher than any of these other things that the world offers. So often we're tempted, aren't we, to pick up that spiritual, metaphorical, mental jar and go wandering off to these other things. Or maybe we look at our Lord Jesus and the other things and we think, oh goodness, I'm on the wrong track. And Jesus here is saying to this woman and saying to us through this great passage, no, 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 no. This is the right track. This man, he's the right one. Will we receive Jesus, the Messiah? I don't know if you've ever tried cheap Lego with your kids. Or maybe with yourself. You can buy all sorts of cheap Lego, other building blocks. But you know, it really is unsatisfying. It just doesn't quite fit together. And if you get it to fit together, it sort of falls apart. Whereas real Lego, I'm not being paid by them here at all, it just works, doesn't it? And it's like this with our Lord Jesus. You can go to all these other things, but it just falls apart. Jesus, uniquely, he is the unique divine human who brings the ultimate once-for-all sacrifice, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and offers the gift. Jesus, the Messiah, rest assured with him, or receive him if you haven't already. Will we receive the gift of new life with the Holy Spirit? Or will we rest assured with this gift if we have received it, remembering what we've got in our Lord Jesus? Verse 10. Jesus said, if you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. Verse 13, everyone who drinks the water of the well will be thirsty again. But whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. What's he offering? This living water, this spring of water, welling up to eternal life. He's using language from his own Bible, the Old Testament scriptures, to speak about the life-changing nature of a new relationship with God that he brings about and into which comes the Holy Spirit. A relationship with the living Creator God. So Jeremiah 2:13 is a place to turn for living water. God says, my people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, wells, jars, broken cisterns that cannot hold water. God is the spring of living water. Why go after others? Why pick up our jar and take it after something else to get filled when that just drivels out the bottom, when God is the spring of living water? Zechariah and Ezekiel, two other Old Testament prophets, both speak of living water flowing from the temple and Jerusalem. The Spirit of God. And it's a picture of God through his Spirit bringing forgiveness and life. So Isaiah 55, God says, come, all you who are thirsty, come to the waters. And you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Seek the Lord while he may be found, verse 6. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their ways and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on them and to our God, for he will freely pardon. What is Jesus offering here? This living water, this spring of water that wells up to eternal life. He's offering new life with God, a relationship with God, with the Spirit in our lives, refreshing us, filling us, on and on and on. God the Holy Spirit. Earlier in John, just the previous chapter, he's been speaking to Nicodemus. And he said to Nicodemus, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they're born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but Spirit gives birth to Spirit. Brothers and sisters, we need to be born again with this living water, this new life that Jesus can bring. Later on in John 7, he's going to stand up in Jerusalem and say, let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. The Bible commentator Don Carson says this about this phrase, living water, and the spring of water. He says, it's the satisfying eternal life mediated by the Spirit that only Jesus, the Messiah and Saviour of the world, can provide. Isn't that fantastic? Will we receive the gift? Remember, the whole passage is about the man and the gift. This is what he's offering this woman, this thirsty woman. Not just thirsty for the water of the well, but thirsty in her life. And she's a picture, alongside Nicodemus, who, if you knew John 3, he's a more wealthy man, a more respectable man, but still thirsty in his life. The two of them are like us. We're thirsty in our lives. And Jesus is saying, look at me and what I give you. Well, what does it feel like to receive this living water, this spring of water, welling up to eternal life? What does it feel like? Well, initially, when you first turn to Jesus, it does feel amazing, doesn't it? And if you're someone who wasn't a Christian for a long time in their life and then became a Christian, you'll remember those first heady days of knowing Jesus, knowing for the first time your sins forgiven, knowing for the first time that when you pray, God hears. Knowing that as you walk down the street, he's with you by his Spirit. It is amazing, isn't it? And as you go on in your Christian life, those great feelings wear off and life becomes a bit more normal again. And we need to feed this relationship, don't we, with the living God? And remember that sin and guilt are gone. He's present in our lives. It is like this river overflowing within us, even though from day to day we don't feel like that, maybe. We're fooled, aren't we, by the world's offers. We start to pick up the jar again and take it off to other places. I hope that works, that illustration. Otherwise, I'm wasting my time, aren't I? And we need to remember, let's get back to Jesus only. He is so good. Let's stop using these cracked pots that leak and receive the gift of new life in the Holy Spirit from him. Perhaps you've never received that. Perhaps you're listening in, maybe you're here today in the building or at home online, and you haven't actually received this from Jesus. Why not go to him today in your heart? Say to him, yes, please. I will take that gift, please. So we will receive Jesus, the Messiah. We'll receive the gift that Jesus offers, the man and the gift. And will we then worship God in spirit and in truth? Verses 23 and 24. A time is coming and has now come when the true worshippers will worship the Father in the spirit and in truth. For they're the kind of worshippers the Father seeks. God is spirit, and his worshippers must worship in the spirit and in truth. It's not about where you worship, Jerusalem or Mount Gerizim or St. Lawrence or Southwark Cathedral. It's not about ticking a box, I've done my weekly service, I've been to the building, sat on the hard pew. But it's about enjoying and expressing a relationship with the living God through our whole lives, wherever we are, with God's people, whenever we can, but also in the rest of the world, with whoever else, based on the truth of Jesus and his word. It's about the Spirit. It's about our heart, soul, mind, and strength all being focused on God and yearning for him, longing for him, living for him. It's about truth. It's about the Lord Jesus and his word changing our life as our Lord and Saviour. This woman was to live in spirit and truth following this encounter. Nicodemus was to, as well, from chapter 3, and we can. Will we worship God in spirit and truth? Well, by God's grace, we have the truth in the Lord Jesus Christ. The truth about the man and the gift. The world says to us, come my way. Come to this, come to that. This will fill you up. And we try things and they feel great for a bit and then it's gone again. And we're still thirsty. They're phantoms, they're vapour. But this man, Jesus alone, is the true Messiah, the Saviour from God, who eventually will die on the cross for our sins in John's Gospel, and has done that. This man alone brings the gift of new life with the Spirit, won for us by that death on the cross, received just by trusting in him. This man, Jesus, and his gift means a life with him, a life lived in worship, a life lived with the Spirit and in truth. Well, leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town. Maybe it's time to leave our water jar, your water jar, and turn to Jesus. Let's pray. I'm just going to leave a moment of quiet for your own response in your heart. Perhaps some of our hearts are hard. Perhaps we're longing for something we knew before and seems to have gone. Perhaps this is new. Let's let God work in us as we think of what he said to us. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for Jesus, the man, the divine Messiah, Son of God, Saviour. Thank you for his gift, new life with the Spirit. Thank you that you offer all this to us. Help us to worship you in spirit and truth. In Jesus' name, Amen.